Awesome. Ah, fantastic. The rain started. It's good to be in the house of God. And, you know, before I get started, just looking for someone. And, just because we want to honor someone this morning that's just a fantastic behind-the-scenes worker in our church, and just nothing's too hard for them. And this lady serves both in Croatia and junior kids twice a month, and has done so for almost 4 years. She always demonstrates love, care, and concern for kids, especially those who require extra assistance. She brings her creativity with kids' crafts and the way she teaches them. She is honored for her high commitment level, her love for kids, and her servant heart. I would like us to welcome to the stage this morning, Alex, please come and receive your award this morning, our servant of the month, Alex Petrie. What a brilliant leader you are. We just wanted to honor you this morning. God bless. Enjoy. Fantastic. So, you know, who enjoyed Philemon last week, the preaching on Philemon? And I thought I'd do part two today, and it's only a little book, so we'll finish it this morning. Oh, there's probably more. I'm sure there's more you could say, but I'm going to go on. If you want to do some pre-reading, I'm going to look at the book of Colossians in the coming weeks ahead. And we have baptisms coming up on the 15th of November or 16th, I can't remember, but in the middle of November. And so Colossians is a great book for that too. So if you would like to start reading Colossians, please feel free to do that. I've got some good news. Oh. Thanks, Claire. I have some good news. I've been speaking with Pastor Collie on Thursday, just gone, in Liberia. And we have four churches, one on probation over there. And, of course, those of you who watch any of the news, you'd know that the Ebola is quite severe still in that region. But we've been praying every Tuesday night. We've been praying in our prayer meeting. I'd encourage you to come to our prayer on Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock. And we've been praying that some action would happen. Well, this week, Pastor Collie told me on Thursday, they actually got there the day before. 3,000 US troops have arrived in Monrovia, Liberia, including many medical troops, and they are setting up a command base for the country to help eradicate Ebola. Come on. See? God answers prayers. I'm not sure about the other countries surrounding, but they've set up base, so that's good news, isn't it? Let's believe that they get this virus dealt with quickly. Now, so I just thought you'd be encouraged by that. I want to read to you. Let's read the book of Philemon. I've got time this morning. So here we are in verse 1. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Turn to your Bibles. This is when a paper Bible is really good. Philemon chapter 1. It's only one chapter. This letter is from Paul, in prison for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. It is written to Philemon, our much-loved co-worker, and to our sister Apphia, and to Archippus, a fellow soldier of the cross. I'm also writing to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing of your trust in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. You are generous because of your faith. I am praying that now we know that we will inherit eternal, praying that you will really put your generosity to work. For in so doing, you will come to an understanding of all the good things we can do for Christ. I myself have gained much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because your kindness has so often refreshed the hearts of God's people. This is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer just to ask you. So take this as a request from your friend, Paul, an old man now in prison for the sake of Jesus Christ. My plea is that you show kindness to Onesimus. I think of him as my own son because he became a believer as a result of my ministry here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he's very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I really wanted to keep him here with me while I'm in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. And I didn't want you to help because you were forced to do it, but because you wanted to. Perhaps you could think of it this way. Onesimus ran away for a little while so you could have him back forever. He is no longer just a slave. He is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a slave and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, give him the same welcome you would give me if I were coming. If he has harmed you in any way or stolen anything from you, charge it to my account. I, Paul, write this in my own handwriting. I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, dear brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident, as I write this letter, that you will do what I ask, and even more. Please keep a guest room ready for me, for I am hoping that God will answer your prayers and let him return to me soon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Timus, and Luke, my co-workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Philemon starts out with the fact that Paul is in prison. He may be in prison, he may be in trouble, but Paul is still on purpose. Last week we talked about that. You can still have purpose in your life even though you're in trouble. With Christ in your life, you can stay on purpose even when things don't seem to be working out right. God has a way through. Well, you must believe that as a church. And when you're on purpose in your faith, you can get up each day. Who's glad to get up each day? You can get up each day and you can be grateful for what God's done in your life. All the young people put up their hands, by the way. They've got a lot of living to do. You know, when you're on purpose in your faith, it's an amazing thing. And so maybe today that you feel like you're a prisoner to your circumstances. Maybe today you feel like you're a prisoner to your time. Maybe today you feel like you're a prisoner for your debt. To your debt or your finances. Note what Paul says. He is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And when you allow Jesus into your life, you place your trust in him, you build relationship with him, your life is on purpose. When you're on purpose, he unlocks truths and gives you revelation on how to deal with situations that you face. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian here, Jesus wants to help you do life even better. He wants you to do life on purpose for him. And that is the context of this letter. Who'd like to be on more purpose for God? So we can learn something from this little book. You can decide whether you'll be ordinary. I don't think there's too many ordinary people in C3 Church. Or you can decide to be extraordinary through living a life in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, in your world. And so Paul put his time in prison to good use. His letter to Philemon changed the direction of slaves under Christian rule. And yet Paul didn't use demanding language of Philemon. Nor did he say to Philemon that he had to change. Rather, Paul allowed the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to speak for itself. Transformation. Becoming a disciple, not just a believer. Who knows you can be a believer but not a disciple? Who knows you can have it in your head but not in your heart? Who knows you can have it in your heart but still not really embrace it either? And so we need to have faith that is all three, that we believe, that we accept, and we embrace the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is in our life. And so I want to make this point this morning. First of all, point one, Jesus changes our outlook on life. And this is the argument Paul puts forward to Philemon about his runaway slave Onesimus, which we're going to look at today. Disciples are not born the day they receive Jesus. They grow as they allow the Word of God to transform them. And it is the truth of the Word of God that sets us free. And love is God is transforming through our actions, through our serving. You know, I just keep hearing all these great reports about Alex, and we've tried on a number of occasions actually to honor Alex over the last few years, and unfortunately she's had other things. And so, you know, people that are working behind the scenes, people that are on purpose in their life for Jesus, what an incredible thing it is. We love to give to God because we're disciples of Jesus. We love to give time to him. Sometimes that time may even hurt, but because we're disciples, we love to do it anyway. We've got talents that we use for the kingdom of God. You know, I've got a friend. He's quite a new friend. And it's quite an unusual relationship because I have no idea what he's talking about when he talks to me. He's a sound guru. His name is David Watson. We had him last year for our sound people and for our music team. And we've kept in regular conversation probably every couple of months. He gives me a ring. And he found out that I'd been in Ballina. He said, Nigel, next time you're in Ballina, I'll drive up. It's an 8-hour drive. He says, I want to come and see you again. I thought, okay. And, you know, like I said, well, he's my understanding is, oh, this is the point I want to make, that he's paid a pretty good sum of money in his work because he's top of his field in sound engineering and doing shows and professional, and he's coming back in February, and we had a little chat about how we could make it work here as a church. He was the chief sound man for Dale In Check for many years. But he's not after the limelight. He genuinely desires to see the church prosper in his area of expertise and is prepared to spend days between his busy schedule helping churches like us. That's on purpose. That's kingdom. The gospel transforms who we are, or we are not really disciples of Jesus. David is a bringer of good news. He comes and he says, Nigel, how can I help? And he's full of life. For a sound guy, he's pretty, you know, he's lively. David, I knew you'd laugh. And so, you know, we get together and we have a chat, we have a drink together, and we just do life. But he's in his way, he's helping us move forward as a church who enjoys our sound better today than it was a couple of years ago. It's a great thing. He's not asking for huge amounts of money. We try and bless him. But he wants to help. Who'd like to help in some area in building the house of God? We just need to use our talents. And Philemon is mostly about a runaway slave. Onesimus has run to the big city of Rome. He's trying to blend in. He's trying not to notice. And Onesimus finds work at the prison. Paul's under house arrest there. He's got his own actual little rented apartment if you look into the detail. And it's there that Paul would have had to have paid for it for the 2 years that he was there. And so Onesimus and Paul regularly chatted. Looking at the documentation and some of the scholars, it would seem that Onesimus would spend night after night talking with Paul. And so Onesimus finds Christ in this prison environment and becomes a valuable support for Paul in his chains. and ministers as one of Paul's disciples to the Colossians and Ephesians. Paul treats Onesimus like his own son. Whether we have our own natural children or not, Onesimus has got no natural relation to Paul. We can still father sons and daughters that have great meaning and great purpose for the kingdom of God. The name Onesimus literally means useful or beneficial. So when Paul writes to Philemon and says, Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us, it's a significant statement. See, our relationship with Jesus changes who we are. Change occurs in Philemon, and change has taken place with Onesimus. You can't look at the world, you can't look at people the same way when they've got a relationship with Jesus. You know, Greg French spoke to me the other day. He's used to be the Real Men coordinator in Oxford Falls, and now is an itinerant minister and ministers globally in all the churches around the world, not just C3. And in the conversation, I'm hoping to have him come and speak. Looks like it's almost confirmed in early next year. And do a Real Men event for us here as well. And he asked me about Liberia. He said he would like to keep some funds on one side. Now, I know Greg's circumstances. He's got millions of dollars, but he wants to see the kingdom of God expanded. He said, Nigel, I want to come on a trip with you in the next few years. That's kingdom. That's saying I can help bring some good news to that nation that you're involved in. I'd like to try and help. And every one of us has some gifting. It might be hidden right now, but we all have something that can help build the kingdom of God. We want to be useful, as Paul says about Onesimus, not just to ourselves, but to others. And so he says he's gone from being useless to useful. Who'd like to be useful? I don't think there's anyone that would like to be useless. But that's what he was referred as. It sounds like he was just no good at anything. Or, you know, he was just one of those guys. Philemon was probably, in some respects, glad to get rid of him. But our relationship with Jesus changes who you are. No one is useless to Jesus. No one. So too, Paul does the honourable thing. Turn to your neighbour and say, do the honourable thing. See, I'm certain of this, that when we work with the current culture rather than against it, we're going to win friends more than enemies. He says this in verse 10, my plea is that you show kindness to Onesimus. I think of him as my own son because he became a believer as a result of my ministry here in prison. I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. The word heart literally means bowels. From the inner depths of my being, Paul is saying, I am returning Onesimus, and with him comes me in my entirety. Our relationships are governed by love. And Paul is very clever in the way he frames this letter to Philemon. Verse 5, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Paul draws attention to Philemon's love for all the saints. Philemon's a Christian. He's one of the leaders in the church in Colossae. And this puts Philemon's relationship with Onesimus, now one of the saints, one of the Christians, under the banner of love, not just commerce. I have to dodge a drip just here. Our love for Christ sets our purpose in our love for others. And Paul models for Philemon the superiority for appeals over commands. Appeals over commands when it comes to a relationship governed by love. Verse 9, yet for love's sake I appeal to you. the culture of the day. Maybe to punish, or would have been, to punish Onesimus. I mentioned last week, either a F on the forehead with a brand like you'd put into a cow. Hot iron, F, fugitive, for the rest of your life. Or severe beatings, or even death was possible for Onesimus. But now he's found Christ and he's become useful to Paul. And it comes out one day, after he'd been serving Paul and going out and helping build the church, he says, you know what? I'm a runaway slave. What do we do now? Christ wants us to make right. Christ doesn't want us just to keep living the way we're living and think that it's not all right. God works on our character. We actually become transformed when we live out the truth in our lives. And as difficult as it is for us in modern society, this was the way it was. There was over 2.5 million, half the population pretty much were slaves. They were owned. It was a commercial practice by their masters. And this is where Paul's really smart. So he doesn't force upon Philemon to do anything, but he allows the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ to do the right thing for all concerned. And as we know, it completely changed. When people become Christians, the slave owners, many of them that were Christians, actually allowed these slaves to be free. That's the good news. And so the culture of the day may have been to punish or even kill Onesimus, or at the very least demand something from him. He was never to be freed. That was pretty much the law. But Jesus is now in the midst of those relationships. Jesus is now in the midst of many of our relationships here today. Yes? When you're in conversation with someone, don't try and fight against the topic of conversation. You are not going to make any friends. They are not going to feel appreciated. Psychologist William James said that possibly the deepest human need is the need to feel appreciated. Who feels happier when someone appreciates you? Anyone here? Who feels happy when, you know, that... Husbands and wives, let's have a few hands up. Who feels happy? Sandy and Kylie over here in the corner. Who feels happy? Kylie, do you feel happy when Sandy does something really good in the garden or wherever? No? You know, Caroline, how do you feel when Greg gets the power tools out? How do you feel when you get surprised? Maybe by some flowers or some chocolates or something. It's hard not to feel appreciated, right? Every person needs some appreciation, regardless of whether they're in prison or not, right? My friend at the gymnasium jumped on a machine next to me the other day. I'm going to keep names out of this for the sake of what's happening when it goes onto our website. He started to open up about a situation that was really quite distressing to him. And if I'd gone by the letter of the law on this situation, if I'd actually gone on it black and white, I doubt that we'd remain friends. We go with what's given to us. And you know, the first thing I could do was go, oh man, I'm really feeling for your situation right now. He said, I don't know why I'm opening up to you. We're actually on the cross trainer together. He's next to me. And he's yak, 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 yak for 5 minutes. He was concerned. It was really quite a serious situation. love's greater. And how we respond. Anyway, I ended up, he had his personal trainer come. And I just said, look, I'll be praying for you. You know, that situation's turned right around. I'm careful what I'm saying here. It's turned right around. I'm about to have another conversation. Why? Because God loves these people. God cares. And so love makes requests, not demands. When I demand things from my spouse or from a friend, or I'm getting dripped on, I'm going to move. You know, I could say to my lovely wife, Andrea, I could say, why isn't dinner ready yet? Kids, listening, where's dinner? Oh, you said it was going to be on the table half an hour ago. None of you like that, are you? No, you could say, you know, darling, I absolutely love your dinners. How long do you think it will be until dinner? See, Paul could have easily argued his case for the sake of the gospel. Hearing me? I need to keep Onesimus with me. He actually does say that. I'd like to. But rather, the Apostle Paul put his relationship with Philemon and the culture of the day ahead of his own purpose. You know, one of the best things we can do is put the other person ahead of our purpose. And true love is self-sacrificing. Recognizing that God can move in people's lives and transform situations as we work within the framework available to us. That's why I love hearing that story about poor care today. Verse 13, whom I wish to keep with me. He's talking about Onesimus, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Paul did not want to return Onesimus to Philemon. He clearly states this. But what we want and the heart of Jesus are two different things. And so Paul says, without your consent, I won't do anything. Who thinks that's a good thing for people that are kind of good friends? Without your consent, I won't do anything. The heart of the gospel is putting the wishes of others before our own. Appreciating others for who they are in love, not taken advantage of. And I know there's various cultures in our church, which is fantastic. I love Australia. Love the cultures. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, look after your wives as Christ loved the church. The Bible, not culture, dictates home life. I'm just letting that sink in for a second. And for the most part these days, men and women both work. Share the responsibilities around home. Young people, if you're thinking about getting a girlfriend or boyfriend and getting married, learn to share the responsibilities around home so that you're good at it by the time you get married. See, some men love to cook. I know my good friend Dom, I did see him there, loves to cook. Love his food. He's been on surfing trips with us just so he can be the chief cook. A few years ago now, but it was fun. Some men do the ironing. That's me. I do the ironing. Well, my own clothes anyway. You can see they're not too good. Andrew's a better ironer. Some men do the vacuuming. If your wife works, I'm talking to the men, and you expect her to do everything around the home as well, you're not loving your wife. You're being demanding. Walk in love. Say it with me. Walk in. Walk in. Be imitators of Christ. Make a difference to the lives of those around you. Can we try and do that this week? It could, if you do it for 30 days, it becomes a habit. I think I'm in the habit of ironing now. It's taken a while. I do all my own washing. There's other things I do as well. Even clean my daughter's car because I feel sorry for her. And that's good too. Do the honourable thing, right? Number three, your love. Listen to me. This is the exciting bit. Your love can change the future. Your love can change the future. These guys are in prison. That's why I picked this picture. They had chat together. It's actually supposed to be Paul and Onesimus. That's what that picture represents. Okay, you can turn that one off. Our relationship with Jesus changes our outlook. We treat people honorably. We don't take advantage regardless of our position in life or the culture that we're brought up in. We honor the word of God. We use that as a basis for all of our relationships. And our love for Jesus and others has a capacity to change the future. Every moment we make in response to God has a ripple effect touching. It's not yet, guys. It's later on, just for the guys in the sound desk. Touching family, neighbours, friends and community. Belief in God alters our language. Love of God affects daily relationships. Hope in God enters into our workplace. Where there doesn't seem to be any hope or a way forward, we can pray to God and we say, Jesus, help, and he comes and helps us or gives us an idea. And Paul has just said to Philemon, I really would prefer to keep Onesimus, but the honourable thing to do is for you to decide. And that is, after all, the way our culture works. And then we have this incredible statement by Paul, in verse 15. Perhaps you could think of it this way. Onesimus ran away for a little while so you could have him back forever. Let's say the word forever. Just making sure you're awake this morning. See, one of the roles of a true friend, someone who wants the best for you, not just the easiest thing to do, is to put vision in the hands of others. This is actually a part of a transformational leadership. He's actually putting a picture of what could be. Paul is actually going, you know what? This guy, he's got potential for eternity. You're going to be with this man in heaven. This changes everything. And I think sometimes we can forget that our relationships with others who know Christ are relationships. We keep them in heaven. So how we behave and respond to one another here on earth, don't forget, we're taking our relationships where? To heaven. How do you think that we should respond out of love for Christ, as Christ loves the church? We should honor one another. None of our movements, none of our responses, none of our beliefs, prayers, gestures can be confined to the soul itself. They spill out and make history. Who'd like to be making more history? Our gestures, our actions, they can make history. Let me give you an illustration to make it clearer. Our gestures in Liberia, for instance, we sent some funds to help the prevention of Ebola. Pastor Collie sent Dominic with supplies to the village in both Kakata and the rubber farm. The word got back to the mayor of Kakata, and he asked Pastor Contessin, one of our C3 pastors up there, how did you manage to do all this, and why did you help when your own situation is dire? Pastor Contessin from C3 Kakata responded, Jesus is helping through C3 Fremantle in Australia. Come on! See, these are forever relationships. I don't know about you. Who's looking forward to having some high fives with people some of you may never meet, but you're going to meet them in heaven? You know how I was saying last week that often through persecution, God moves. Pastor Collie rang so excited. Ebola, as bad as it is and as terrible as that situation up there, Pastor Nigel, I'm trying to talk like him now. Susan, where are you? You are here. Pastor Nigel, the church is so full, we need to expand our building. The Ebola epidemic has brought many new members to our church. We now have 60 youth. And last week alone, we had 21 visitors. 4 who had never been to church before. Pastor Nigel, keep praying. He always says that to me. Your renovation money that we sent up just a couple of months ago after the conference was $3,000. He says, people are stopping. Pastor Nigel, they're stopping. They're actually pulling up on the side of the road. What is this building? Because he's totally renovated the church. He says, we are the best building now in the whole community. And he showed me these pictures. I've got them for when we do an update in November. These are nice blue and I don't know, these other colours. See, we may not be able to be there, but Jesus is transforming others through our gestures, through our praying, and through our giving. And this is what Paul is talking to Philemon about in respect to Onesimus. He is not the same man you knew before he met Jesus. He is transformed. And he is useful. You know, if you're not feeling like you're transformed here today, Christian, let's get a bit of zest back in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit today. Every relationship you make has the capacity to change the future. And this is what happened to Onesimus. And Paul refers to Onesimus as Philemon's beloved brother. And Philemon eats with Onesimus at the Lord's table. That's what it meant. This is huge in the culture. A slave eating with his master. And Onesimus' identity is now the same as Philemon's. He is in the Lord. And Christian love has a capacity to change history. Verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, give him the same welcome you would have given me if I were coming. And Philemon and I are requesting that, Philemon, I am requesting, Paul is saying, I am requesting that you treat your former slave the same way that you treat me. But God is still moving on Paul in such love that he also says this. Verse 18, if he has harmed you in any way or stolen anything from you, charge me for it. Now, this is a clear picture of what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. Yes? He has set us free. Our actions, love, speech, honor, helps, gestures have the capacity to spill out and make history. Let's be a history-making church. But let's also be history-making individuals. In the sense of, what's God saying when you're in a relationship? When you're having a conversation with someone? See, the message of the cross is alive through you and I. And the upshot of all this is that without explicitly prohibiting slavery, Paul has pointed the church away from slavery because it's an institution which is incompatible with the way the gospel works in people's lives. And whether the slavery is economic, so let's just look at this, not just from that kind of slavery, or slavery we know in the past in that sense. Whether slavery is economic, racial, sexual, mild or brutal, Paul's way of dealing with Philemon works to undermine the institution across its various manifestations. No one should be subject to. The gospel is freeing. Praise the Lord. And so Philemon and Onesimus had no idea. They really didn't. Philemon and Onesimus had no idea that believing in Jesus would involve them in radical social change. And you and I are involved in radical social change. Everything that we do and believe in, it is not just for ourselves. In fact, it's got really not much to do with ourselves, has it, young? It's got everything to do. Absolutely everything to do with transforming the lives of other people, normally one by one. As two of them were brought together, Philemon and Onesimus once again, by this letter, through Tychicus coming with the letter, it created incredible social change. And it still does today. If I could have Brem, if you could come play the keys. Jesus changes the outlook of your life. Your life cannot run simply on selfish motives with Jesus in your life. And it's not just a commercial activity. In this Western world we live in, it, our world is not governed by how much money we make. Our world is governed by how we can transform the life of another. It's a message of the gospel. I'm not saying we give up our work and all become Mother Teresa's. Simply saying we have a purpose with the use of our funds if we are businessmen and we have a purpose beyond ourselves. It changes the outlook on our life. Second, Jesus helps us to do the honorable thing within the culture or precedent set. Third, your love for others can change the future. No person should feel oppressed. No person should feel manipulated. No person should be subject to, except in the scope of love. Does your relationship with Jesus have an outward focus? Are you being honorable in your relationships today? Are your actions, gestures, beliefs helping to change history? Jesus came so that we would bring resurrection life to others. How's your own life going in this respect today? Is your life having a ripple effect? Let's close our eyes for a moment. Onesimus became transformed through the ministry of Paul in prison. Onesimus' transformation gets him back to his master. Onesimus and Philemon talk in the language of love in Christ Jesus. And Onesimus becomes a church leader and bishop. The gospel of Jesus is truly transforming. If you're a believer, you love Jesus with all your heart today. Have transforming relationships. Bring the best out of others. If you need to make right with someone, do that. Why don't we stand for our feet for a moment? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Lord of your life, with every head bowed and eye closed, will you accept what Jesus has done for you? The gospel is good news. It's freeing. It brings liberty. No matter what situation, no matter what's happening right now in your life, will you make connection to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to work with you in your life. He wants you to have dominion with Him. He wants you to be able to talk with Him and relate with Him. He is Lord. Will you make Him Lord of your life? And will you become like Onesimus, one of the brothers and sisters that together we have relationships that don't just last here, but because of the life of God, they last forever. If you don't know Jesus today, on the count of three, I'd love to pray with you. Pop up your hand in a moment. I can see your hand and you can put it down again. I would love to pray with you. If that's you today, turn to Jesus. Accept Him. If it's today you're away from Christ, you know it, you have known Him. You're not in relationship with Him now, you're pretty much doing your own thing. Well, I think Onesimus speaks for itself. Make right today. Make right today. God loves you. You've got to make the effort. You've actually got to respond to His love. He doesn't force any on anyone. Will you allow that to happen today? On the count of three, if you're in one of those two categories, pop up your hand and I'll see it. You can pop it down again. One, two, three. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Anyone else this morning? Let's just give it a few more minutes. God's moving here today. Anyone else say, yeah, that's me? Just pop up your hand. Everyone else's eyes are closed. Allow me to pray with you this morning.